Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, 104.5 The Zone's non-stop sports talk continues with a look at Nashville's teams and at news around the nation from the lead writer of 104.5thezone.com. This is
The Big Six.
The Big Six with Jason Martin. Presented by Renter's Warehouse.
And here we go.
Straight up, 6 o'clock by my watch means it's time for the one and only Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone. We're almost to the 4th of July. Probably a short week for a lot of you. Not a short week for me. I'll be on Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis tomorrow morning. I'll be hosting it for the remainder of the week. You'll hear that here on Fox Sports Radio as Clay's going to be in for Dan Patrick, which will be cool. My name is Jason Martin, by the way. You can follow me on Twitter at JMartZone. I'm blessed beyond measure, all reasonable and otherwise. I hope you recognize that you are as well. I hope this finds you and yours doing extremely well. My DM's always wide open at JMartZone for a faith-based conversation. If not me, I hope you will trust somebody to have that talk with. Last night, big show, good reason to subscribe to the podcast. You should be subscribing to all the Zone podcasts anyway. Of course, you can go to 1045thezone.com and listen to all of those podcasts individually, but you can subscribe to the Big Six with Jason Martin, the Pop Six, which you'll hear a special edition of on Friday right here on the air, as I'm going to be talking all things Stranger Things and nostalgia. So that's something to get excited about as well. But wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you like to get them, you can get them. And last night was a bang-up show. Alex Doherty breaking down the Matt Duchene trade with me, and then Phil Steele talking a lot of college football. It's almost here. We are almost where we need to be as it relates to that. And we talk some free agency, and that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight more often is NBA free agency. I spoke about last night how it seems watching Kevin Durant and the move that he made that he was chasing happiness. And Adam Silver at the Sloan Analytics Conference in MIT months ago talked about how his league has never seen this much unhappiness, this much discontent, this many depressed guys dealing with mental issues and anxiety and just not being able to find what it is that they're looking for in their lives. And so Kevin Durant chased winning when he left Oklahoma City, who were winning but couldn't beat Golden State, so he thought winning championships might make him happier. Went there and won championships, but Draymond Green got in his face in the locker room. He had to deal with a lot of people that never would give him full credit for winning because he left a team and went and gravy trained another one. That's the way it was seen, at least. And it was never going to be his team. It was always going to be Steph Curry's team, no matter what he did. And so he leaves Golden State and he goes to Brooklyn. Now he wants to play with his friends. He wants to go play with Kyrie Irving, who he's forged a friendship with through international basketball, Olympic basketball, and things of that nature. And DeAndre Jordan, one of his closest friends, also from international basketball. So they're going to team up. And so he's chasing happiness again. And when you chase happiness, you don't find it because you can't find happiness. You can't point to something and say, that's going to make me happy, because it never is. Nothing tangible is ever going to make you fully happy. You can't figure out this. If only I've got this, I'm going to be happy. That's just not how it works. Happiness can find you, but you can't find happiness. But I want to talk larger about free agency and parity. One of the earlier topics, one of the first topics I did when I took over and we started this Big Six experiment last summer was about parity and about how we need dynasties in sports. We need a Goliath. There is no David without a Goliath. There needs to be something to shoot for. And so I think sometimes we take for granted our hatred of the Patriots or of Alabama football or of the Warriors in this case over this last 5 years, or the growing, I guess, distaste for the Warriors that started as a really good thing, and then some people just wanted to see them finally get beat. And usually the place I go, and considering Spider-Man Far From Home opens today, my reviews at 1045thezone.com/big6blog has been for about a week, spoiler-free, so you can go there, check all that out. But what is a good superhero movie with a bad villain? Well, it's not a good superhero movie. It doesn't exist. You don't have a good superhero film if you have a bad villain. When you think about Black Panther, even though it did some groundbreaking things and some very important things, that movie's not half as good if Michael B. Jordan doesn't absolutely just leap off the page as Killmonger, somebody that you could believe in what he was doing. What is Avengers Infinity War? What is Endgame without Thanos? If you find a film with a bad villain, I will find you a mediocre to bad superhero film. Now, there are other ways that you can make a bad film, certainly. But generally, the ones that you like the best are ones where it works. Why did Captain America the Winter Soldier work? Because of the depth involved in that Bucky Barnes Winter Soldier character and the history that he had with Steve Rogers. All of the best superhero films generally have a good villain. And you need a good villain in sports as well. People say they want parody, but they don't want mediocre parody. And this is where we go back to the NBA. Because right now in this league, there is an opportunity. It could get quashed at any moment. But there's an opportunity for a league that we just have not gotten a chance to see very much. And a league that I am extremely excited for. And that is a league of elite level parody. The NBA that I wish to see is the one that has multiple superstars in several different locations. I'm talking like two all-stars on a lot of teams. I want to see couples. I want to see pairs. I don't need to see super teams. Some disagree with me in the media and think super teams are great for sports. And I do think dynasties are good. There needs to be somebody to shoot for. But there's been somebody to shoot for so long in the NBA. What I want is to be able to make a case for 10 teams and say that team could win the Super Bowl. That team could win the Larry O'Brien Trophy. And not because the rest of the league is average and nobody is great, but because all of those teams are really good. And so think about this. I'm just going to give you a list of these teams. In Los Angeles, you've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis. In Oklahoma City, you've got Russell Westbrook and you've got Paul George. In Golden State, you've still got Steph and you've still got Klay, and then you can throw Draymond Green and even D'Angelo Russell, at least until he gets traded there. In Dallas, you're starting to see something potentially with Porzingis, who just re-upped for 5 years, and Luka Doncic. In Portland, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. In Houston, even though they can't stand each other, you've got James Harden and Chris Paul. You've got Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, who's signing a $170 million extension that's going to keep him in Philly for a while. You've got Chris Middleton and, of course, Giannis in Milwaukee. You've got Kawhi right now in Toronto. You've got Kawhi and you've got Kyle Lowry. And you can even throw Siakam in that mix. In Indiana, who made a sneaky good move, they grabbed Malcolm Brogdon from the Bucks. So now you have borderline all-star right there to go with Victor Oladipo. Notice I haven't even mentioned Brooklyn yet. But you've obviously got Durant and Irving when Durant comes back. And you've got Jordan there also. So I'm just listing teams here. And if you want to throw a couple of other ones in the mix, or one more at least, Mike Conley. We'll see what he's got left 11 years into his career. But you pair him with the Spider-Man, with Donovan Mitchell, and a good Utah team. And then you've got Jokic and Murray in Denver. You've got emerging young guys that are stars. Who knows? I mean, what happens if Ja Morant and Zion turn out to be what we think they might be? You've got another couple of teams. The reason why the NFL is so great, even though it's sort of a mirage, because in the end, it generally turns out to be the same crop of teams, and everybody goes Dennis Green and is who you think they are. There are teams that take steps forward and teams that take steps back. I'm not going to do the Paula Abdul right here, but it's the Patriots, it's the Chiefs, it's the Rams, it's the Saints. It does go cyclically, and some teams will drop out and other teams will roll in. But we do have that dynastic nature of the Patriots. But what this league has, meaning the NBA, what this league has a chance to do right now is create what I call elite-level parity, which doesn't sound feasible. But there are enough transcendent-ish stars in the NBA, move-the-needle kind of guys, at least on the floor, that you have been able to spread out and put two great players on all the teams that I just listed. All-star-ish level players. In many cases, both of them are All-Stars. In a lot of cases, at least one of them is probably going to end up being a Hall of Famer. In multiple cases, five or six at least, both the guys that I named will be Hall of Famers. And so there is an opportunity for the NBA to create hope in a lot of markets and to make many teams marketable in terms of, this is the problem for the NBA. The problem was, it was all who was going to lose to the Warriors and when would they lose? How, you know, when they see them in the semis, would they see them in the conference finals in the East, who was going to get there and be the lamb led to the slaughter? And so the regular season and all 82 games that you're playing, nobody cares about the 6-7 and the 8 seed. But what if, as is the case now, when you look at the Western Conference, there are only really two teams that you can say that team's probably not got a shot. Everybody else has some level of talent. I don't even think I named all of the teams and all of the potential pairings of superstar guys, but those are just the ones that were off the top of my head when I just scribbled it down right before we went on air. But when you've got two stars on a lot of teams, then you can put a lot of games in primetime, a lot of games on ABC and ESPN on Sundays, a lot of games on TNT, and you can create a fervor for League Pass. League Pass, which has the advantage of you can go for the whole NBA or you can pick five teams. I just gave you what, 11? Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 teams. Just pick the five that you like the best and you can watch every one of their games for a little bit lower price if you don't want to get the full League Pass. But the NBA has so long been a top-heavy league where everything seemed like you could predict it before it started. Now you have the opportunity for that not to be the case. Now you have the opportunity for elite-level parity. Parity like you do see in the NFL, even if it looks like a mirage. Even if we get down to it and Anthony Davis and LeBron James win all these championships. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but that opportunity is out there. But you can plausibly make an argument as to why, even though they hate each other, Chris Paul and James Harden could potentially win a title together. Durant and Kyrie, even as upset as they are in their lives most of the time, their talent is undeniable. Giannis and Chris Middleton just need to take another step together, and it looks like they can. Kawhi and Lowry have already won a title together. Russ and PG, I don't know if they can win a championship, but they're going to be fun to watch. And Paul George is third in the MVP voting, and Russell Westbrook's a triple-double machine. There are just so many. And look, Dame and CJ, Lillard and McCollum, you don't generally win titles with point guards. Or with guard play? Not generally. Now, the Warriors kind of changed that, but they also had Draymond and they had Durant that came in as well. But Dame and CJ took another step together this year, got further in the playoffs. So what happens with them next year? Maybe they manage their loads a little bit better and they're a bit fresher and Damian's not banged up and CJ has a little bit more clutch in him than we saw this season. Jokic and Murray, that's a really good basketball team in Denver that's only going to get better. Embiid and Simmons took their lumps this year, but took the eventual NBA championships to seven games. So I'm just sitting here making cases out of the blue for these teams. And if you can make a case for a team to win a championship in a league full of superstars and celebrity-level players, then you can make a case why it's worth sitting down and watching them in December or in January. Or certainly before the All-Star break and definitely after the All-Star break. Ultimately, that's what every league wants, I think. Which is why I disagree with some of my colleagues in the media that think super teams and Kawhi needs to go to the Los Angeles Lakers so that there is this ultimate Goliath. I don't think you need that because I think you've had an ultimate Goliath in the NBA for a long time. I want to see this because then you don't have a bunch of Davids necessarily before Goliath. You have a bunch of possible Goliaths, and that's just as good. If it's a superhero film that has 8 or 9 villains in it, maybe you don't have time to fully develop them in 2 hours, but you certainly do over an 82-game season and over a 4-round postseason that takes well over a month to get through. You've got a lot of potential boogeymen in the NBA. To me, that is incredibly enticing as a consumer of sports and entertainment. And so that's what I want to see. And so that leads us where I want to go next. And that is discussing Kawhi Leonard and the decision that he has to make because of all the people that don't necessarily want the cameras in their face. Right now, Kawhi Leonard has the NBA future in the palm of his hand. We'll jump into that next as the Big Six rolls along here on 104.5 The Zone.
Zone.
Welcome back, Big Six, 104.5 The Zone. We're brought to you by Renters Warehouse, dedicated to making renting your home easy, fast, and worry-free. Renters Warehouse, you can't buy happiness, but you can rent it. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. You can follow me there. You can read my stuff, 104.5thezone.com/Big Six Blog. Special Pop Six. You'll hear that as part of kind of the podcast extravaganza. It's going to run on Friday on July the 5th here on The Zone. You hear all the cool podcasts and some of the new ones. Maybe you've never checked out any of that stuff before. It's a reason to be around your radio. You find some new stuff that can help you pass the time more effectively via your phone or however it is that you consume podcasts for sure. So this is what we were talking about. I talked about elite level parity there in the first segment of the show and how the NBA has a chance to have multiple superstars on a lot of different teams. It creates hope and creates uncertainty, but not because of mediocrity. The kind of parity that you don't want is that everybody stinks or that everybody is a C-minus student. That's not what you want. But when you have the potential to have a bunch of teams that are B-plus students and A-minus students, then you've got something. Then you've got something you can build on. That's ideal, and it's fleeting, and it's tough to find in sports, especially in the NBA, where depending on the time frame, there's usually, you can count them on one hand, anybody that's even got a chance, and about half of one hand, maybe three fingers, as to who you really think has a chance. But all of this, this potential for this league that I am super excited to potentially watch all season long, it all hinges on one guy. And it's the last guy you would think it would hinge on because every eye is on him. And that doesn't seem to be the individual that we have come to know. But here's the thing. We don't know any of these guys, and we definitely don't know this enigma, Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard, currently a Toronto Raptor. Maybe by the end of this night, he's not a Toronto Raptor. There is a lot of speculation out there. I know one guy at Fox, and I won't name him, but I heard through one of his producers that his source is actually about as close as you could possibly find to this situation. I know who the source is, and that the Lakers are waiting on Kawhi because basically Kawhi is theirs to lose. Unless there is a meeting that changes his mind, that's where he's going to end up. And so I roll my eyes and think, please don't do that, because if you put Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James on the same floor, that's the greatest super team in the history of the NBA. That's the three best players that have ever combined to play together. And I sit there and I'm thinking about Kawhi Leonard, and the problem for me is somebody has to be the number three guy on that team. I think Kawhi is the best player in the NBA. I have laid that case out for you on this show a couple of different times. Offensively, defensively, he has no flaws in his game whatsoever. He's got the killer mentality that you want, but he also can be incredibly selfless on the floor, and people get better around him. I had somebody tweet me and say that that's a lazy phrase for me to use, to say that somebody, that guys play better around him, that everybody is responsible for their own. That's not how it works. People do rise to the occasion around leaders. It's not just in sports. It's in the military. It's in politics. It's in academia. If you've got a great professor that can lead you, like Keating and Dead Poets Society, however long ago it was that film came out, probably over 30 years now. Great movie if you haven't seen it. There are many different potential leaders out there, and guys flock to leaders, and they follow leaders. One of the things that happened in the last election cycle that bothered me a little bit about our current president is he talked about how he doesn't surround himself with smart people. That was one of the knocks on Donald Trump, was that he surrounded himself with guys that were beneath him because he liked to be the smartest guy in the room. Your ego wants to tell you that. But to become smarter, you've got to put people around you that challenge you and that sometimes put you in your place. A bunch of yes men isn't necessarily going to succeed in that way. And so on this show, one of the reasons why I always appreciate your comments at JMartZone, why when I take calls, if they're good, I always credit those calls, is because relentlessly and consistently, you guys find a way to make me think about something that I've said in a different way. And I am just not ever, hopefully, by the grace of God, I'm never going to be stubborn enough not to listen to people. Now, to an extent and to a degree, If you're mean about it or you go personal attack, then I'm just going to mute you. And you're going to disappear into the ether and I'll never hear what you have to say again. And there are some opinions that I'm just going to disagree with or think are completely uneducated. And there are many things that I say, I'm sure, throughout the course of this show. Maybe not tonight, maybe tonight, but certainly on any given night where you disagree with me vehemently and you think I'm out of my depth on a certain issue. The wonderful thing about America is we can feel that way and continue to move along. But I disagree with the media types that think that this is the best thing for the league is for Kawhi Leonard to end up in purple and gold with the Lakers. I unfortunately think that's probably what's going to happen. The best thing for the league would be for him to stay in Toronto, not to go to the Clippers now because Kawhi needs somebody else there. And I don't know that that exists. And most of the other free agents you would have potentially wanted to see him play with, Jimmy Butler, for example, there's just not enough there. There are some good role players and a great coach in Los Angeles. And maybe he could go there and just will them because he has done that in the past. But you kind of want a second superstar there because Kawhi would have to take so much on himself. I don't know if physically he would hold up. He's already dealt with a really bad injury that was nagging that certainly led to his exile out of San Antonio. And then they managed him very well in Toronto. And Adrian Wojnarowski talked about Kawhi over the weekend. And he said that one thing that is underrated about Kawhi is how much relationships matter to him. By that, he says Toronto has a huge advantage that people are not crediting them for because he forged relationships on that team last year. Not necessarily with the guys on the floor, even though I'm sure that he did. But this goes further. He believes, as does his camp, that they took good care of him last year. When he needed time off, when he needed a night off, they did what they could for him. They paid attention to what his doctors had to say about his condition. They gave him what was called medical autonomy over his own health concerns. They did not try to force him back on the floor or tell him you shouldn't take this night off or this or that. They trusted him. And as such, with them trusting him, he can trust them because he knows that he's respected there. He thinks that their team physicians, their trainers who he got to know last year, took good care of him as well. And then you look at the guys in the suits on the sideline, Nick Nurse. He forged a relationship with Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse proved that he could coach Kawhi Leonard and that team. At least he coached evenly with Steve Kerr. I think he out-coached Steve Kerr in the NBA Finals. Some of the moves that he made, especially with Danny Green and Fred VanVleet coming into the second half and who was starting and who was coming off the bench and how many minutes guys were playing, Nick Nurse coached a very good postseason. Masai Ujiri, the architect behind this team that made all the moves, that brought in Marc Gasol at the middle of the season, that let Valanciunas go, that did the things that he felt like he needed to do to better that team, he's going to stick around. So Kawhi Leonard knows that the brain trust around him, both the coaching staff, the training staff, and the front office. Think about the New York Knicks and who they were not able to get. They're the New York Knicks. Madison Square Garden is a relic that apparently doesn't mean very much anymore when your owner is James Dolan and he's known for all the wrong things, including making the wrong hires, putting the wrong general managers in place, yelling at fans because they criticize him, throwing out a legend like Charles Oakley. Every headline surrounding the Knicks is a negative. And so even though if you could resurrect the Knicks, you could write your own ticket in the NBA and you would never be forgotten. And it's a franchise that is just begging to be relevant again for the first time since they won their last title in 73, but certainly the last time they were relevant was probably the mid-90s, with all due respect to Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire. Nobody's going to go there, it appears, until James Dolan leaves. That's the opposite of what we're seeing in Toronto. Toronto looks like a franchise that is modeling itself in some ways after what San Antonio did. R.C. Buford, probably the best executive in the NBA over the last 20 years. Greg Popovich, universally acclaimed as probably the best coach at least since Phil Jackson, and in the pantheon, in the top five of greatest NBA coaches we've ever seen. The brain trust made sense down there. They found guys that fit the system, didn't always go for the highest price free agent or the superstar, just the guys that made sense. Kawhi was a one-year risk as a mercenary. They did not know when they got him whether they could talk him into being the next Paul George and staying home, or if he was going to head to L.A. They felt it was worth the risk because just like Charlotte looked at Kemba Walker and said, we're never going to win a title with this guy as a centerpiece, they looked at DeMar DeRozan and said, this guy does not have the makeup to take us any further than he has at this point. And then LeBron James left the East, and that made it easier. But Kawhi Leonard turned around and won them a championship. If he leaves, they're still going to thank him for it in the end. I don't know if they're going to go full Golden State and retire his number like, for whatever reason, Joe Lacob and the Warriors did yesterday after just 3 years with Kevin Durant. I don't think they would necessarily do that. But they have made their case. Kawhi is going to let them make the last pitch to him. But I want to make a pitch to Kawhi and say, why would you leave Toronto? It's a great, diverse basketball market, a great sports city. You're the only team, not just in town, but in the country, in the NBA. They want you there. If you re-sign, they might have a parade for you there. If you go to the Lakers, somebody has to be the third dude. LeBron's always going to be the number one dude because he's LeBron James. Anthony Davis last year, some people said he was the best player in the league. He's a bigger personality. Kawhi recedes into the background. So do you, Kawhi Leonard, want to be Chris Bosh? Do you, Kawhi Leonard, want to be Kevin Love? I don't think so. Because ultimately, all Kawhi Leonard wants to do is play basketball. And play it at a high level. And win titles. And be a killer on the floor. And he could do some of those things. But if you stay in Toronto, you're the reason they're winning. If you were to go to the Clippers and they won, I don't even know what to say. Because I don't know what they would have around you, at least right now. They'd have to make some moves that I'm not even sure what those moves would be at this stage. So I think you stay in Toronto. Kawhi, I'm telling you, if you stay there, and folks, if he stays there, we get this league that I talked about in the first segment, this elite parity that I have craved for such a long time. And so, I hate to say this, but I think he's going to LA. I think the Lakers have known this. I think they have put all their eggs in the Kawhi Leonard basket. They've let all of the guards that they could have gone after get swallowed up, whether it was a Russell or even a Seth Curry or someone to that extent, to where right now it's going to be like Rajon Rondo or someone very low on the totem pole or a veteran that's going to try and run that team and be the primary ball handler at the point guard position. They are putting their eggs in the Kawhi Leonard basket. They're going to go three max guys, Kyle Kuzma, and then go get a bunch of minimum salaries to fill out that roster. Probably go over the luxury tax in the process, but accept that. But if Kawhi Leonard just stays in Toronto this NBA season, even if you're not an NBA fan, you will have so many more reasons to watch these games during the regular season than we have in such a long time. It is amazing to me that the guy that has seemingly avoided the spotlight throughout his entire NBA career now holds the future of the NBA in his two-time NBA Finals winning hands. In his two-time Finals MVP winning hands. I'm hoping that he stays where it's familiar and where he trusts that brain trust in Toronto. But my prediction is now he's going to wear the purple and gold. I hope I'm wrong. We'll be right back. This is a Big Six on 104.5 The Zone. Glad to have you with us. Happy Tuesday to you. Big Six, 104.5 The Zone. Some of you may be done for the work week. Maybe you got one more day. But it's going to be fun, even though there's going to be a little bit of rain and it's going to be hot. But we're all blessed. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. You can follow me there. Talked about Kawhi. I'm hoping it's not going to be the Lakers, but my prediction now is that it will be. I really want to see him stay in Toronto. I talked about elite-level parity in the first segment. Good reason, if you missed any part of this show, to go subscribe to the podcast, Big Six with Jason Martin. You can find it through your podcast catcher of choice. Get the show however you want. Consume it whenever you want. Just whatever you're doing. If you're about to take a trip for the 4th, you can go back and listen to the archive as well. Last night I talked about people chasing happiness in the NBA, and Kevin Durant specifically, and said we should have been able to predict exactly what was going to happen here. I predicted he was going to leave. I don't think that it necessarily had anything to do with the injury or not trusting Golden State staff. I think this was going to happen inevitably, at least as far back as that confrontation with Draymond Green in the locker room. Because Kevin Durant is an unhappy guy that is chasing contentment, which you cannot do in this life because it's futile. And so during the break, I clicked on a Zach Lowe article, which is a smart move, at ESPN.com. Why the collapse of the Warriors feels so abrupt. And listen to this. Did not know this was coming, but this is interesting. Maybe it's just as hard to sustain greatness. Maybe this is the shelf life of a championship team now. The grind, 100-plus games every season, is exhausting. The LeBron James era Miami Heat lasted four seasons until everyone seemed old, weary, or ready to move on. Durant spent part of the summer after that first championship working with Steve Nash, not that Steve Nash, a Warriors consultant. Nash was struck by Durant's despondency. He didn't have a great summer, Nash told me last year. He was searching for what it all meant. He thought a championship would change everything and found out it doesn't. He was not fulfilled, unquote. The Warriors enjoyed having Durant and he enjoyed playing in Golden State. Still, they never found a permanent comfort zone together. Teammates and coaches looked for hopeful signs. When Durant and Stephen Curry sipped wine together for hours after a team dinner in Denver during Durant's first preseason with Golden State, coaches smiled. The two stars were getting to know each other, getting over the awkward stage. But Durant would withdraw. He grew so quiet during the middle of the 2017-18 season that Coach Steve Kerr summoned him to lunch in Portland before the All-Star break. "I don't want to lose you," Durant remembered Kerr telling him. He had been drifting a bit, Kerr told ESPN after the 2018 NBA Finals. "He's vulnerable. I felt the need to reconnect." This is it, right here. This is everything Adam Silver said months ago at MIT, and this explains why Kevin Durant did what he did. It explains why he took less money again so that he could play with his friends to get DeAndre Jordan. Both him and Kyrie took less than the max so that there was money left over to bring in DeAndre Jordan, because Kevin Durant continues to put things on a pedestal that are ultimately going to let him down. Let me tell you the problem with what he's doing in Brooklyn. Kyrie is an unhappy guy. He is a team killer from a chemistry standpoint. Kevin Durant is an unhappy guy. I think DeAndre Jordan, from everything you hear, is a really affable guy, and maybe he's a positive influence, and maybe that's what they both can use. But usually when you put two bad things together, a good thing doesn't necessarily result from it. Chris Paul and James Harden have won a lot of games, can't stand each other. A lot of people don't like playing around them, so they haven't been able to get anybody else on that team. Free agents have said, "I don't want to play with Chris Paul. I don't want to play with James Harden." Notice they have not won a championship together, despite how talented they are, despite that they're both no doubt Hall of Famers, despite James Harden being the NBA MVP and the runner-up this past season. But in Brooklyn for Kevin Durant is a year away from playing because of this ruptured Achilles. When he comes back, we don't know what he is going to be, because he's not going to have the explosiveness. He's not going to be running down the paint and yamming on guys the way he has been. He's going to be a lot more of a jump shooter, even more so than we're used to. But Kyrie Irving's going to have to sit there and play all year in Brooklyn with DeAndre Jordan and not a whole lot else. There was more talent, I believe, in Boston last year with Kyrie Irving than there is in Brooklyn, and that didn't work out very well for the Celtics. So is Kyrie going to be happy? Because he has to play a season that's ultimately going to get him nowhere. And how unhappy is he going to be at the end of the year? And how damaged and frail is he going to be before his buddy can get on the floor a year from now after this ruptured Achilles? How fractured is that team going to be before Durant ever plays? I don't know if he's taking that into consideration or not. If they're that close to friends, maybe it'll work. There was friction at times with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. They still won multiple championships together. I am on record that I don't think Brooklyn will win a title with this makeup. I just don't think this is going to work. I think there's talent, but these are two guys who, if they're both searching for contentment and neither one of them finds it, then that could poison the rest of the locker room. And that becomes a gigantic problem. And then I was thinking also about the Golden State Warriors. They did win back-to-back titles with Durant. They won three championships out of five, made it to all five finals, Is it still a letdown if you're a Warriors fan because you think you could have won 5 out of 5? If it hadn't been for the injuries this year, the suspension to Draymond Green, and the banged up Iguodala the year that LeBron and company were able to get it done, are you actually, can you possibly be disappointed when you've won 3 titles in a short span the way they have? Especially considering it's the Warriors and they hadn't been in the mix for a good period of time. The last time they were relevant before this crew was the, I think it was the Gilbert Arenas team that was an 8 seed that won in the first round of the postseason that year, which is a rarity, but they didn't ultimately do that much after the fact. But Golden State's won 3 titles, and I look at them and I say, what could have been? That is astonishing. For them to have been as successful as they have been, but still to feel like they left that much on the table. I don't know that we could have predicted that when all of this began. When they started winning and we realized the level of talent and the fact that the game had changed and they were the reason it had changed. They were not just on the cusp of change, they were the facilitators. They were the earliest adopters. They're the ones that were standing in line in Cupertino outside of an Apple store to buy the first ever iPhone. I didn't have the first one, did you? I'm usually a fairly early adopter to technology. I'm pretty sure my first iPhone was a 4. Maybe it was a money thing. It could have been. Maybe it wasn't available. I can't even remember if it was ultimately available or originally on Verizon. I assume it probably was. But for whatever reason, I waited for a while before I got an iPhone. But these are the earliest adopters, the ones that when you first saw Steph and Klay and Draymond and you realized what they had, and then you saw some of the bench moves and they would let Harrison Barnes go and, of course, bring in Durant later on and Iguodala, you realized how valuable he still was and how much he still had left in the tank, particularly on the defensive end. This team won 3 titles this decade, and I look at them and say, man, they should have won 2 more. Think about that. Maybe we're just that spoiled, and we take it for granted how hard it is to win a title. I gave you that stat yesterday that over this span, the Warriors have played an extra 102 games, I believe it is, because of the postseason, which has led to the breakdown in their bodies. They've played more than an extra season of basketball, and this is the harder fouls, the playoff fouls, the just where you're going full bull, not regular season games. These are 102 of the hardest games that you're ever going to play. And they won 3 titles, and I'm looking at you, and I'm actually with a straight face asking everybody out in radio land right now listening to me on 104.5 The Zone, did they find a way to underperform? Were they unlucky? They won 3 titles, folks. We'll be right back. Big Six, 104.5 The Zone. Segment of Ye Old program tonight, Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. Blessed to have you in my audience tonight. We're brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, dedicated to putting homeowners on the path to financial freedom through rent estate, renting your home without having to do the hard stuff. Renter's Warehouse, the rent estate company. So I read this article about the AAF. Because when I see article about the AAF, I immediately tune in because I want to see just how bad of a 14-story diaper pile on top of 20 exploding dumpster fire this was. And so Charlie Ebersol and others within the organization now are alleging player fraud and are suing the players for misrepresenting themselves. I don't have enough words or enough time left in this show to describe to you how hilarious I find this. Even if they have some merit behind any of these claims, you got to be kidding me, right? Like, I mean, there's the pot kettle black analogy. This is the largest pot and the largest kettle and the blackest color that you could possibly find on both cases. And the pot has a loud mouth in this case. And the kettle's just sitting back with an eyebrow raised like, what in the world are you talking about? If you want to allege fraud, you might want to start with yourself. And you might also want to start with your ineptitude. The story that boggled my mind the most was the fact that they offered, I'm going to give you this number. I don't have it directly in front of me, so don't quote me on this. But I believe it was $50 million that they offered Vince McMahon for the XFL name? $50 million. Maybe it was 25. I don't even care what it was. That conversation is what led to Vince saying, oh, they want to do that, I'll just do my own football league. Can you imagine offering eight figures for the name of a failed league that only had 1 year and has been sort of the laughing stock of the sports universe for nearly two decades? Remember the 30 for 30 last year? Or I guess it was a couple of years ago now. Time passes as you get older. That's one thing I'm learning. It was a lot of that whole deal was a joke. Matt Vasgersian saying it was sort of an embarrassment to be a part of and all the things that were going on. But the AAF, that group wanted to buy the XFL name because they wanted to call their spring football league, I guess, the XFL. And they were going to pay that much to do it. And Vince, his pride got in the way. And instead of taking that money, he just decided, I'll just bring the XFL back and prove I can do this whole thing. Frauds. Frauds in their minds. Frauds in their decision making. You know exactly how I feel about spring football leagues. I have spent plenty of time arguing that not only was the AAF going to fail and joking about the fact that they had power rankings for those teams on CBS Sportsline and all of these various websites 2 weeks into the league's existence. I joked about it because I said, how are you going to have power rankings? The league's not ever even going to have a champion. Now, Steve Spurrier will say his team is a champion, which, look, his argument's okay. They were the best team, but there was never a championship game even played. They didn't make it 1 year. The XFL may make it three because Vince McMahon has earmarked $450 million for losses. He's just going to take that in the first 3 years, and then maybe after 3 years he thinks they could break even or start being profitable. I still have my doubts they're going to be there for 3 years, but at least he's planning for and expecting those losses. But if you've been paying attention to WWE stock, the condition of their television product, the changes and the seemingly desperate moves that they've been making over the last, I would say, 6 to 8 months in particular, that's a company that's not on strong financial ground right now. It doesn't mean they're going to be insolvent. I mean, they're about to go to Fox and all their money is tied up in television guaranteed deals. But eventually that product is going to send people running for cover. And I think they're going to end up on FS1 and not on Fox on Friday nights relatively quickly because the ratings just aren't going to be there. That's why they're bringing in new guys to do this. But the fact that the AAF thought the XFL name was the way that they should go tells you all you need to know about the AAF. So for them to lodge some kind of a complaint, a fraud lawsuit against the players in the league, whoo, the chutzpah that it takes to try that is astonishing. Let me tell you something you need to do. If you have not seen Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, yes, my review of Far From Home has been available on the Big Six blog, 1045zone.com/Big Six blog now for almost a week. But if you're going to go see that, you should. It's good. But Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse hit Netflix. That was one of the five best movies of last year, period. There is no excuse anymore if you have not seen it to go run to Netflix, put it in your queue, and watch it. You've got time. You're going to be off work for a couple of days. When it's raining and you can't be at the pool, grab a hot dog, grab a hamburger, whatever it is that you eat, grab some chips, and sit down and watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I don't care how old you are, you're going to like this movie. Now, if you don't like, look, not everybody's going to like it. Superhero films, some people aren't going to dig it. But I'm telling you, don't let the animation run you off. I've said that about BoJack Horseman. I'll say it again, by the way. Watch BoJack Horseman. I'll be talking about that as part of the Stranger Things Pop 6 on Friday that you'll hear right here on 104.5 The Zone. But Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, I cannot tell you enough how good this movie is. And now it's sitting there on your Netflix just waiting for you to experience how good that storytelling was. Take it from me. I will not let you down. I will also see you tomorrow morning with Clay Travis on Outkick the Coverage and certainly tomorrow night for the Big Six before the 4th of July. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. God bless and good night.